The gang is all here. It's a brand new Village Vice. We didn't have Zach yesterday. We had Jacob. And
we are so back. We are so back.
Yeah. Why don't you take your glasses off?
I don't need to see for this.
Put your glasses back. Let everybody see how handsome you are with glasses on. It's a problem today if we're both in glasses. Look at that man right there.
Yeah.
Look at just look at him. For those of you audio only, I can't help you. Just imagine the most smoldering, like imagine Zach, but smoldering. Okay. That's what you got. So your interview with Cole Best on Locked On Auburn, if people haven't watched it or listened to it yet, they really should. Can I analyze a couple things from that?
Please.
Okay.
There's a lot to analyze.
It's outstanding, and there's a lot of gold. Like, you go pan for gold, you come back a rich person. But I thought not wanting to just change logos, like it wasn't just about going from a South Florida logo to an Auburn logo. Mm-hmm. There was some substance there. There was some personal identity. This is who we are. We're loyal to the coaches. It's who, you know, we want to step up in competition, yes. But, like, it wasn't just about going from a Group of Five school to an SEC school. That's the thing that to me resonated the loudest from the Auburn Center. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you and I have had the discussion of, like, would these guys have stayed if Golish, if Golish was still at South Florida, if he hadn't mm-hmm. left for Auburn? And, I don't think there's any shot Cole Best would have left.
No.
I'm not going to speak for everyone, but Cole Best is the one I've talked to the most. And, like, yeah. He ain't leaving.
Yeah.
He's playing for Alex Golish until he can't play for Alex Golish anymore. And, you know, he did speak on behalf of his, you know, former South Florida teammates and, you know, now Auburn teammates of, you know, he's like, that seemed to be the common sentiment in the conversations that I've had.
Yeah.
I kind of get that vibe. From Byram. I don't know if that would have been feasible financially for him to stay at South Florida with everything he would have potentially be leaving on the table. But, you know, Keyshawn Singleton, Jeremiah Koger, Jonathan Echols. I mean, Echols could have gone to Tennessee and been a top SEC recruit, and he became mm-hmm. the highest ranked recruit in the history of South Florida because he wanted to play for
Alex Golish.
Yeah. So definitely seems to be a common sentiment for folks who really get close to them. They don't want to leave them. And I think you can say the same thing about coaches as well.
Clearly.
Yeah. When people have the opportunity to be a part of the same program as Golish, his track record so far would indicate that they stay as long as they can. And I think that's more than just interesting. I think that is important.
Yeah, he said they felt like they owed him that loyalty. And man, you don't hear a lot of current football players in the climate we've had in the last 5 years talk about coaches that way. You just don't hear them talk about those as relatable and relational. And he's like, man, just his outlook on things is different. And he's taught me a different outlook on things. And that kind of language, you know, I don't mind finding the needle in the haystack. I don't mind finding something that's seemingly, like, obscure and attaching meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
But even when Cole Best talked about the offensive line and the importance of Cale Ellis being ready, and he talked about how, man, our jobs are, you know, like, it's physical on the offensive line. And he used we and our, not they and their. Like, even when he talked about the coaches, when he talks about the team, he doesn't say the coaches are trying to make sure everybody's ready. You know, the coaches are looking at different things on the offensive line. It's always we. It's always we. And I think that's kind of a staple of Alex Golish, where he has been too, is he's fostered this environment of, you know, it's the guys who set the standard. It's the team that sets the culture, not the coaches. Now, the coaches do, by virtue of their, like, it, of course, it all goes back to the coaches.
Yeah.
But this empowerment, and this is true in business. This is true in a school, on a team, like in a family. If everybody feels like they're a part of it, you're going to do more. You're going to be more successful because it's not transactional. And it seems to me like Alex Golish teams don't feel like transactional teams.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do think some of that has to do with the type of character you recruit. And Golish didn't recruit Cole Best. You know, Cole Best was already at South Florida when Golish took over. But a lot of these guys, especially the younger guys that transferred, he did recruit. And so you're kind of able to have more control of, do I want this player in my system?
Yeah.
And not that like personalities were a major issue under Hugh Freeze, but I don't think he was having that discussion. I think it was, okay, can they like Auburn and enjoy being here? And can we pay them enough money to look past us not being able to win football games? And that's just going to be a different type process for that. The I loved the his welcome to the SEC moment when he walked over after a Tuesday practice and there were like 20 or 30 people waiting to talk to him. Which is something you and I've talked about. Like, oh, this has got to be the first time the South Florida kids have been a part of this and had this much attention on them, and they didn't waver at all. So it's kind of funny that he did, I don't know if admit, but like he said that, right? Which is kind of fun.
And the way he put it was good too. Folks can go check that out and hear it or watch it for themselves. But yeah, I like the way that he set it up and framed it. It was pretty humorous, pretty humanizing and relatable. So it was pretty cool. So check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I told him, I don't know if it was on like while we were recording or if I cut it out, but I told him, I'm like, man, they're going to love you guys. Like, as this fan base begin, like, I told him, like, you have no idea what's coming, the amount of love. And he's like, I believe you. I've already been blown away, but, you know, we haven't played a game yet and all that. So that's, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it because there's so many people that have never seen him play, you know, live football that I'm getting messages and or comments on the video or people posting on social. And it's like, yeah, he's already my favorite player. I believe it.
I got the same thing after the media session last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Was I got a man crush on Cole Best. He's done one interview.
How can you not?
Yeah.
How can you not?
Well, the intellect, the thoughtfulness, the perspective, the maturity. He's grounded, like, but motivated. It's easy. And now he's got on your team colors. Like, if you're just an impartial consumer of college football, you go, that's an impressive guy. But if he's got on your team colors, takes it up a notch.
100%. And especially with like offensive linemen and trench players, a lot of how those players are perceived in season as far as like all SEC and all American and all that, a lot of that has to do with, you know, PFF has helped with some of that, whether it's accurate or not or consistent. I think that's a different discussion, but a lot of that has to do with like popularity and like how liked these people are. And if Cole Best represents Auburn at media days, like I think it would do a lot for him as well. So
yeah, I agree. Okay. An interesting note about recruiting came out yesterday.
Oh,
and I think it's significant. I think it's significant. And I want to give credit. He's a member of the Alabama media. Matt Stahl is his name. I don't follow him on X, but I saw that this was posted in 10 out of the 15 public SEC football programs. So everybody but Vanderbilt reported a drop in recruiting spending during the 2025 fiscal year. Some dropped by over $1 million, and no school in the SEC spent more than $5 million. On football recruiting. Is that important? Is it interesting? Is it both? Is it neither? Let's talk about it after Roback. R-H-O-B-A-C-K, just like the hat that Zach is. If you want that very hat, you have to break into his house. Don't do that. Or into his office. But you can get your own Go to roback.com, use promo code BARN20, B-A-R-N-2-0, BARN20 at roback.com. You get the hat 20% off. You can get the hoodies 20% off. Vests, accessories, polos, entire order, 20% off, roback.com, R-H-O-B-A-C-K. BARN20 is the promo code. Check it out.
Yeah.
So, not so, well, maybe it was surprising. Who do you think spent the most on recruiting in 2025?
Georgia.
No, Georgia was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sixth. They spent a little under $3 million, which seems low to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Tennessee spent the most.
Okay.
Alabama second.
Okay.
Oklahoma third. Texas okay. fourth. Texas A&M fifth. Georgia sixth. Florida seven. Auburn eighth.
And this is last calendar year?
Fiscal year 25. So like 24, 25.
Okay.
Start in early fall 24 and finish.
Well,
in the
I mean, let's think about all the things that go into this. Well, yep. One, NIL probably helps a good bit of this.
Yes.
Because it's like, yeah, you can have a better visit or we can just pay you $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part of it. Two is, you know, a lot of the times you've got to fly these kids in. So where you are geographically, I do think matters. Like Oklahoma's probably farther away from a lot of the elite okay. guys. So it makes sense while they're high up there. Tennessee's a little surprising. But Georgia, I mean, sure, they obviously recruit nationally, but they get a lot of guys yeah. in the state of Georgia. They got a lot of them. So I think that mm-hmm. would have an impact as well, but that wouldn't make it go down from year over year. That hasn't changed. That's not different.
Right.
I imagine this would be one of the unintended consequences of NIL. Like, why are we spending so much money on the recruiting when we just need to like pay to get some of these guys here would be my yeah. instant raw reaction. Cause I hadn't seen that. So that's yeah. interesting. I would say it's interesting, not important.
Yeah, Auburn was one of the few exceptions to the rule. So Auburn actually spent more on recruiting in fiscal year 25 than it did in 24.
That makes
by
sense.
By almost $1 million more.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that goes back to us paying the suck tax, right? Like getting all these official visits in. And I mean, think about it. I mean, we had a ton of official visits. And it's like, we're like, all right, it's going to be a big weekend. And then no one would commit. We're like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, you're right about that. I do think that it raises an interesting conversation about NIL and the importance of your staff being relatable. And this is another reason I get excited about this staff. Like, first of all, you're not trying to bring in 25 and 30 high school commitments regularly anymore. Right? I mean, I think you may do that every now and then, but you're not. The days of building your team around 25 four and five star high school guys. That's just not, I don't think that's where we are.
Sure.
So you're going to have a smaller class, number one, and you're going to emphasize the portal more, but that would still seem like that would hit a recruiting budget, right? Because you're bringing in those portal visits.
That's interesting. Yeah. You're having more, does portal money count towards that?
I would think so. I mean, I think a recruiting visit, whether it's a high school kid or a portal visit.
Wonder if it counts towards it though if you get a portal guy committed and they haven't been to campus.
Well, that's again a takeoff on the Cole Best interview. Some of these guys don't have to see campus before they commit.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them don't.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big chunk of your roster. That's going to have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't court all these people that you're going to get third or fourth or fifth with. Like, there's just not enough time.
Right.
High school recruiting, I mean, you'll have a guy on who's like, you make their top 10, and then, you know, you never see him again after that. So
you also have guys come in on unofficial visits a couple times. They're going to come to multiple games, and then there's the official visit, and some of that's going to, I mean, you know, you're still hosting people even if it's on unofficial visits. So,
yeah.
This idea that NIL supplants the importance of the coaching staff being relatable or supplants some of your game day recruiting strategy. I don't think that's accurate. I think we're looking at NIL. If that's the way we're framing NIL in the wrong way. You go, well, you don't have to be that impressive on campus if you could just pay more than the next school. I think the issue is you're not paying more than the other school. Everybody's paying a similar range. Everybody's going to pay a similar range. And now we're talking about $40 million rosters. I saw another story yesterday, I think from On3 or The Athletic, that like you're talking about, this is the day and age of the $40 million college football roster. So are you really paying more than the next school, or do you still need to sell your campus? Do you still need to sell your tactical coaching that you're going to get to ready you for the NFL? Do you still need to sell a family on, all right, well, he's going to make $100,000 here. He'll make $100,000 there too. But when we've got him, we're going to turn him into a man. Like, I still think that's as, like, I think it's fallen off zero in terms of importance.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fallen off zero, but I definitely think it's crucial. I mean, think about it at the pro levels. I mean, when these guys are free agents and they're going somewhere, they're still looking to see who they're playing for. You think players don't want to go play for Mike McDonald right now at Seattle after they won a Super Bowl? I mean, we've heard reports of, you know, big-name players wanting to play for Mike Vrabel in New England because he's the ultimate player's guy. Like, I'm sure it happens in the NBA. I'm sure it happens in the MLB. I don't follow those leagues as closely, but I'm sure that still happens. In the same way, like, we kind of heard that Alabama kind of had to pay less for some guys just because they had Nick Saban. It's like, if you want to be here and play for Nick Saban, that's part of it. I'm sure Georgia has that pitch with Kirby Smart now. I'm sure Indiana has that pitch with Kirk Cignetti.
Mm-hmm.
No but question. Also, I mean, think about it in real life. Who your boss is matters. Mm-hmm. Who you're going to be working for, it matters in any industry.
Yep.
Do you think the guy that you're potentially going to work for is a loser or doesn't know what he's doing? And it's how in the world did this guy get this job?
Right.
Or is it, wow, this guy really respects everybody that works under him? Or, wow, you know, I can call my boss or manager and like say, hey, I got to take my kid to school. And they don't like freak out and say, hey, well, make sure you use some of your time off. Like, that stuff matters in everything. Everyday life.
Yeah.
And so to act like it wouldn't happen in a competitive environment such as football is silly. So, I agree with you in the sense that it matters tremendously. I wouldn't say that it's fallen off zero.
Okay. All right. I would say zero to negligible, but maybe it does. That's, we're a separate issue. Let's publicize everything. Let's do like what they do in the NFL, and let's announce contracts and stuff like that, and let's make it all public and find out.
I'm fine with that with rev share.
Yeah.
I'm not fine with that on NIL.
Well, we don't do that on true name, image, likeness, like sponsorship, endorsement deals for athletes. They don't do that.
But that's what most of this is. Like, the rev share is a big chunk of it. But if you've got a deal with On to Victory, like, is that different than if I, you know, have a deal with somebody to come on Locked On Auburn? Like, I don't want people knowing that. Right. I have no interest in people knowing that, both for me and for the player.
Yeah.
So is that different than On to Victory, which is now, you know, refocused as an events company, and they have a player like Byram, you know, go and speak with Golish? Is it fair to that player that we know how much he's getting to be there? Like, I don't think so.
That's different from the rev share, though, to make your point.
Rev share, I think, because it's cut and dry. There's no, like, this is what they're getting. It's from the school. If you want to make that public, I'm 100% cool with that.
Yeah, I got you. I would be fascinating to find out, though, how close, like, for Byram and for some of the guys who came from USF, the Auburn guys who stopped in Tampa along the way, how many of them even thought about going somewhere else? Because it doesn't sound like Cole did. It doesn't sound like he thought about anything else. It was either I'm training for the NFL or I'm going to Auburn, like flat out. Doesn't matter what other school calls or what they offer. He said he was loyal to this staff. And so I wonder if the others are the same way. Could some school have come in? Could Miami have offered Byron Brown $1 million more. $1 million more.
And I mean, do we know that didn't happen?
No, we don't. We don't. And it's, but that's the point is,
those I mean, we heard that other schools were trying to get in contact with Byron. Like that was reported.
And of course they did. Of course they got in contact. Absolutely.
Right. What, I mean, if you had to guess right now, was what Auburn's paying Byron his highest offer?
No.
No way.
No. Not because they couldn't. I just don't think it was.
Yep.
So again, to kind of punctuate that point, the relatability of the staff to the player matters. And Auburn had a huge advantage because Golish already had these relationships with these guys.
Right.
And but as others build those relationships and they see, I think you'll continue to see that be an advantage for Auburn going forward. In a world where the money's going to be pretty close everywhere, you still got to have that X factor that puts you over the top.
And you're that X factor.
Well, thank you.
You put us over the top.
I appreciate you noticing. Auburn baseball is in Montgomery tonight. If you are watching or listening in Montgomery, come to the game, come to the game, come to the game, come to the game.
Go get a picture with Brad Law.
Or just get a picture of the train when it comes by. Best ballpark Philly cheesesteak I've had is in this place.
In Montgomery?
Yeah. Riverwalk Stadium, Montgomery.
Okay.
Now, it's been about 10 years, but I've never had a ballpark Philly cheesesteak that was better.
Is this where the Biscuits play?
Yes.
Last time I went to a Biscuits game, which probably been 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Got some of the biscuits there, and they were trash.
No.
Driest biscuits I've ever had in my life.
How does that happen?
Oh, okay. Speaking of delicious food.
Okay.
Dr. Church, who's been discussed on this show.
Mm-hmm.
One, listened to the Octopod Live Dive show on Friday, where we talked about going to Pound Town.
Yep.
And pound cake in general.
Yeah.
And he also knew I was by myself this weekend with all the kiddos that my wife was out of town. And so he had his wife bake me a pound cake. And I thought it was a bit. But then he starts sending me pictures of like her making it, it going into the oven, it coming out of the oven. And he's like, this will be a great treat for you when you're drinking your coffee at church on Sunday. And I'm like, he's serious.
So what you're telling me is he knew that with your wife out of town,
yes,
you had to go to Pound Town all by yourself.
I ate the pound cake for sure. Alone. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Pound cake is under freaking rated.
But Brad, I don't want to be dramatic here. This is the best pound cake I've ever had.
Was it a sour cream pound cake?
I think it was just a normal pound cake. Is this normal pound cake have sour cream in it?
No, but you can add sour cream to the normal base.
So I'm upstairs kind of doing some work last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah's home. My wife is home.
Okay.
And so I think she got all of her stuff put away and she was downstairs watching TV. And this is the text I got. This cake was made by a woman who loves the Lord. Holy moly.
I bet it was a sour cream pound cake.
I don't know. Dr. Church, let us know. He'll watch. So
I walked into my grocery store last. I don't own a grocery store. It's the grocery store I go to. But I walked into the grocery store.
What letter does the grocery store you go to start with?
P.
Okay.
And on the table.
That is the least surprising thing ever. Of course, you go to the one that starts with a P.
Listen, BOGOs. BOGOs are the way to win me over. They have
unreal.
They have 24 BOGOs that I participate in weekly. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going to go. So anyway, and right there on the table as you walk in, just a table full of pound cakes.
Did you get one?
No, I didn't get one. I have one at the house and another one in the freezer.
There's so somebody who works at Auburn that sent us a picture of a pound cake that he bought from a grocery store. And he said, I blame you guys for this. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Pound Town Fever.
Village Vice brought to you by Pound Cake. So I envision all the people that go to the grocery store that starts with a P.
Yeah.
They all like gather in the corner and make fun of the people that go to the grocery store that start with a K. Does that happen?
No, that doesn't happen.
You ever just took a shot at somebody? It's like, can you imagine being anywhere else right now?
I have done both. I've done both regularly and think I have a card for K in my wallet right now, but I haven't been in a long time just because they don't do BOGOs. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like
I went to the one that starts with a P once and I needed some barbecue sauce. And I'm standing there and it's like, it's kind of like, you think like you just kind of know which one you want.
Yeah.
The amount of barbecue sauces now, it's gotten a little out of hand, right? It's a little out of hand because then you're like, well, I kind of want to get one I haven't tried before because there's 1,000 right here. And so I'm standing there just kind of like looking at the wall of barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And then BP, Bruce Pearl, is standing right next to me looking at, and I'm like, a man of the people gazing at all these different types of options when it comes to barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about it? Did you guys talk about how many barbecue sauce options there were?
We did. Here was our conversation. Yeah. I grabbed one. It was actually, I remember it clear as day. It was the Yingling branded barbecue sauce. And he's like, that's good. That looks good. Have you tried that one? And I'm like, first time. Can't wait. I'll let you know. And I walked off.
Did you in fact let him know?
Nope.
How was it?
I don't remember. I'm sure it tastes like every other barbecue sauce.
That's what I was going to say. I don't get bogged down too much on choices like that because they're all the same, basically. They're all basically the same. Like if I'm going to, if my day is going to get bogged down over a little difference in flavor on barbecue, then I got bigger issues. So I just kind of grab one and go.
Well, I think you can look at it as a treat. Like, and I might've been in college when this happened. No, I wouldn't have been in college going to the one that starts with a P. No way. No, I wouldn't have done that.
There are plenty of college.
After college,
there are plenty of college students in the one that starts with P.
There are. I would question if they're paying for the groceries or not.
They're not expensive.
The one that starts with a P?
They have buy one, get ones all the time.
So I'm sure it varies on what you get.
Yeah.
We've done this before. We've gotten our normal load of groceries from the one that started with a K.
Yeah.
Our normal load of groceries from the one that started with a P. We've experimented with this. Within the last 3 or 4 months, like we've done this recently.
Okay.
It's not close in cost.
But that, but
if you do the BOGO, but
yeah,
but that's where they get like, well, I wasn't going to buy this. I wasn't going to get a buy one, get one of Scooby-Doo graham crackers. Like we weren't going to do that anyway.
I'm not talking about Scooby-Doo graham crackers. I'm talking about the stuff I use. I'm talking about loaf bread and peanut butter and tomatoes and.
Yeah, maybe the BOGO, like maybe those weren't the BOGOs when we did our experiment, but it was like $60 different. Like it was pretty noticeable.
Good grief. Yeah, no, I would not do that either if I'm buying one for ones, but you know.
Yeah.
The BOGOs are where it's at. I love them.
Grocery pickup of the one with a K has become our go-to.
You know what? I don't do grocery pickup either. I don't like grocery pickup. I want to go through the aisle. This is not surprising probably about me because I'm a little...
No, especially the one with the P. I mean, it's a different experience.
I want to go down the aisle.
You might run into like somebody from Hollywood if you go to the one with the P.
Or Bruce Pearl. Although Bruce I have Pearl. Not done that. I've not ever run into to be...
Well, how much time do you spend in the barbecue aisle?
Not
much.
Not much.
That might be your issue.
Could be.
Next you know, time you go to the one with the P, which sounds like that's what you're going to do, just you know, park in the barbecue aisle for 4 minutes. See if he shows up.
That's the same aisle that has the balsamic vinegar and the extra virgin olive oil and the avocado oil that I buy. And they have buy one, get ones on those too. And that's going to save you about 15, 20 bucks.
Thoughts on avocado oil?
Pro. Thumbs up. Big fan.
The what do they call it, like the flash point, the steam point?
Something. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like...
It doesn't burn quickly, which is good. It's got a high burn temperature.
Yeah.
Big fan. And it's healthier for you, apparently.
Supposedly. That's what they say.
Yeah. I don't use enough of it at once to probably make a difference one way or the other.
Sure.
Did you forget we were recording?
No.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for you to wrap it up now. That does it for today's show.
Yep, that does it for that's all I got today. So and please subscribe if you haven't yet. He was just gonna let me go. We're gonna see how far that rope would carry us today.